Psalm 29, verses 1 and 2. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. And worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Loving Heavenly Father, this morning, as we look at Your Word, we've had Your Word sung to us. Our ears have heard that, and we just saturate that in. But Father, this morning, as we read Your Word, let it speak to us as only Your words can, Father. And I pray for the conditions of those hearts, as Pam talked about, that it would be soil that would be good soil, to take the seed, the word of God, and let it fall in so that it might produce 100 times more than what was sown. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. What are your feelings towards someone who's always looking for an easy handout and doesn't offer any help or try to reciprocate in any way? If I can assume that most of us are a little upset by these actions, do you think Jesus would be equally upset with people that accept His grace and then ignore Him? Or what about ignoring the work that He desires for you and I, the grateful recipients of His greatest gift of eternal life? Shouldn't He also be expecting of us to do a work for He and His kingdom? So many in the world have a mindset of entitlement. That is, they think that as long as they live a good life in their eyes, it entitles them to go to heaven. Doesn't Jesus deserve the glory due His name? Because it's by that name that you are saved. So how do we glorify Him? Here's how. We glorify Jesus by being vessels through which the Holy Spirit communicates God's love to those whose lives we touch. Everybody desires to go to heaven, right? How about equally desiring to do the work of God by producing fruit for His kingdom? The title of today's message is A Glory View. A Glory View. Now, you're going to think with some of these verses, Pastor, where are you coming from? And I know a few of you already know the way I preach, and you're going to go, that's no secret. This guy's always going around the block. But hopefully I'll bring it in, and you'll go, wow, that wasn't so bad, Pastor. But we'd really rather hear the singing. A glory view. Do you have a glory view? As I thought about that word this week, I was thinking, glory. What is glory? You know, the Bible talks about the glory of God quite often, doesn't it? Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. We have all sorts of people in this world that look for glory, right? Oh man, if I could just make 16 touchdowns this year, they will sure to be raising not only my name, but my salary. Glory is that fame that people get as a name for themselves. They try to attain certain goals in their life so that they can hear the accolades of the people and the applause and have parades done in their name, have streets named after them. That's the glory. What kind of glory should our Lord expect from us? He did a mighty work for us on the cross at Calvary. He died for each and every one of our sins. Why? So that we would revere Him, so that we would ask forgiveness, and that in turn, we would die to our lives and live His life here on this earth for others to be attracted to. It's not just an insurance plan just for yourself. Oh, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. Well, that's great, yes. And that is the very beginning. That's the welcome mat of God's house. However, there's a work to be done. Do you have a glory view? Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. And now you're going to see, wow, my pastor is really taking a strange route this morning. Read this if you would, please. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return, Almighty God. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground. Sounds like there's a work to do, right? Exactly. And so this is your first fill-in. This mandate has been conveyed upon all people, that by the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food. Folks, this is a mandate that got put upon us because of our ancestors, Adam and Eve. They refused to obey God and not eat of those trees, that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now we have a knowledge of good and evil. Amen? We all have that knowledge of good and evil. We don't have to teach our kids the knowledge of good and evil. It is just something that will come out of them. And it's our job as parents to train them up in the ways of thinking good, not evil, right? All of our days. And it's a work. But this mandate of by the sweat of your brow you will eat your food has been given down to each and every one of us. And though we have this mandate, Jesus has this warning for us in John chapter 6, verse 27. Read this along with me if you would. This is all in your outline inside the bulletin for those that are wondering, where is he getting this stuff from? Actually, I got it from the Word of God. I just printed it out for you. So it'd be a lot easier for instead of you trying to change pages with me this morning. John 6, 27 says what? Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. So are we to be all up about working the sweat of my brow to just eat food that is going to be ingested and then, yeah, you know where that stuff goes. And guess what? Even though I was hungry yesterday and I ate well yesterday, in fact, we ate really good last night, didn't we? Little private thing there. The girls, last time I was here, I made some green chili chicken sour cream enchiladas, a casserole, and my homemade salsa, and they fell in love with our church because of that. And though we had a good meal last night, guess what? My stomach is rumbling again already. So what is Jesus telling us here in this verse? Don't work for food that spoils. but for food that endures to eternal life. And well, what kind of food is that, Pastor? What kind of food? That's the Word of God that we're supposed to chew on. Because that's what will endure to eternal life. It's what the Son of Man has come to give us. Because in John chapter 1 it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Whenever we take communion, what does He say? He says, take of this bread. It is my body. It's broken for you. The Word is Jesus. And that is the food that will last until eternal life. Do you feed enough on Jesus? It's funny, during this time of 40 days of prayer and fasting that we're in, that we're supposed to give up something, and it's not just to make you hungry. Rather, it's to push you to be in prayer and communion with God even more. How successful have you been?
Well, how do you measure success, Pastor? I've lost 2 pounds already. You know, we're only halfway through. I'm looking forward to losing 5 pounds.
It's not about weight loss. How much closer to the Lord are you walking today? Now that we're halfway through this time of prayer and fasting, folks, we're in some tumultuous times, if you haven't realized. And it's time to draw near to the Lord, even more so than you ever have before in your life. Because as these sweet voices sang out earlier, our eyes need to be to the eastern sky, because Christ can return any moment.
Be ready. That's right, George.
2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 and verse 10 in your outline. It says, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. Not even when we were with you, for even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. Never tire of doing what is right. Are you engaged? Are you in gear with the Lord? Are you in His Word each and every day? Are you being challenged by His Word? Because I'll tell you what, this is the greatest change agent you will ever come upon. If you can read this book and your life not be changed by it, you are a cold, callous heart. But if instead you read this Word and you say, Lord, instruct me in your ways, your life through God's Word will be changed and more worked into His appearance, into His likeness, and no longer yourself. In the name of Jesus, brothers, we command you to keep away from every brother who is idle. Are you in the Word of God? How do we know if you're in the Word of God or not? If we don't share with each other what the truth that we just learned during the week, what thing that we've been challenged by. You see, that's what Bible studies are about. That's why we get together in small groups, is to share what the Lord has been giving onto us, and then also to glean from what others have been shown by God. We encourage one another. We build one another up. We strengthen each other with the truth that we find out during the week. You know, if you feel like you've got a weak walk with God, I challenge you to look at yourself and go, how much time am I spending reading God's Word and talking that over with others around me. You see, it's great to just sit by yourself and read God's word and be instructed by it. But you don't know whether or not you've really taken anything in until you try to pass it by someone else. You know, I came across this truth this week. What do you think about this? And they go, you know, yeah. And you know what? There's a similar verse over here. And all of a sudden you start looking at God's word and it starts meeting both of your needs. And you both end up being strengthened and encouraged. I challenge you as your pastor, if you're not involved in a Bible study somewhere, get involved. And you will see a growth in your Christian walk like you have never had before. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Do you have a glory view, or are you just getting by from day to day complaining about everything that's wrong in this world? Where are you really at in your relationship with God? Have a glory view. Luke chapter 10 verse 2 says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field." How coinky-dinky that final harvest is here with us this morning, right? The harvest is plentiful. Their voices are beautiful. Their music is touching. And we get enthralled by what their ministry is about for the morning. But how does it sustain us for the next day? And the next day? And the next day? How do you grow closer to the Lord in not only your experience of His presence, but in the depth of your knowledge of His Word? As your pastor, I beg you, I implore you, draw near to God and get a glory view. John chapter 17, verses 1 to 4. And you've got to understand, this is Jesus. And He's praying this great prayer. And it wasn't just for His disciples that were with Him at that time. This prayer is also for us. That's why it's recorded for us to read it and to be encouraged by it. What did Jesus say to His Father? He said, "Father, the time has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son may glorify You. For You granted Him authority over all people, that He might give eternal life to all those You have given Him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. I have brought You glory on earth by completing the work You gave Me to do." A lot of us have kind of had that question, what's eternal life going to be like? What does it look like? How can I have any knowledge of it? Well, it's right here in this great prayer of Christ. In fact, I'd like you to take your pen out and even underline, or if you've got a highlighter, highlight this. And then take it home and highlight it in your Bible. Now, this is eternal life. And what's the definition? That they, us, may do what? Know who? Know the Father, right? That they might know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You've sent. If you know them, and I don't mean knowing in the sense that you just walk down the street Hey, Danielle. Danielle, hey, Pastor. And we know, no. To know someone is to get involved in their life. I know that Danielle is a marvelous young woman who loves God tremendously as much as she loves her almost 2-year-old Richard. And she knows that I'm the crazy pastor that rides a motorcycle and prays for her and prays for the church. We know each other because we share life together. Do you know God? Are you sharing your life with God? Or are you relying on your own wisdom? Got this, God. It's all fine. I can handle my life. I just need you for salvation and for that eternal life package. Thank you for that insurance. No. This is eternal life. That you know me. That you know me. Do you know God? Do you know what He's thinking about? Do you know what His work is about? Do you know God? Oh yeah, we all know that He loves me. Because that's the song I learned when I was a little kid. Jesus loves me, this I know. Yeah, we know that, right? But He's also a God that will take us through some tests and trials. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. Now, that's not right. I thought it was just a good life. It is a good life. And when He takes you through some tests and trials, like my brother George this week. Can I share this? Is this okay? Okay. My brother George called me, panicked. Lost my wallet. I go, no, George. Yeah. Yeah, and it's got some money in it, besides my identification. Well, George, where you been? You know, I tried to walk him back through, you know, where he'd been and everything. And I said, you know, George, and these are the very words, and George can attest to this. I said, George, Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I'm God. And rest in God and let Him just show you where your wallet is. Well, God wasn't working fast enough. So I got in my car and I drove over to George's house. And right behind me was his daughter-in-law. And so we went in to help God. The man of God did not find the wallet. The daughter-in-law did. And she did a quick sweep over his bed and the wallet was found and we rejoiced together. But sometimes we go through some tests and trials. That doesn't mean that God's any smaller. In fact, that's the time when God needs to become bigger in our life. Amen? And that's the time when we really call out to Him. God, are you there? I really got to know you're there. Are you there, God? I'm floundering down here. I'm about to drown in all the pressures and stresses of life. And the Father sits on His throne, still in control of everything. God is still on the throne. He's in charge. And what does He say? Child, be still and know I'm your God. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Your next fill-in is our work has been determined by the Father. Our work has been determined by the Father. If his own son had a job to do, guess what? We as God's children have a work to do. And it's assigned to us. It's determined by the Father. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I used to live my life with my own plans. Oh, I was going to do my 30 years on the fire department, retire, pick up golf balls for, you know, a living or something. I didn't know. But that was my plan. God had a different plan for my life. My wife still at times thinks I should have done the 30 years. No. But I want to tell you, if God calls you into something, that thing that God will call you into will stretch you and will stretch your faith farther than you could either think or imagine. Are you hearing me? And it's not going to be comfy living. You're going to stress. You're going to wonder, God, what were you thinking? And yet, if you stick with it, if you draw near to God and let Him draw near to you, you will have a glory view about what your life is really all about. And this is eternal life. What is eternal life? That they may know you and your son. You see, that's the work that's assigned to each and every one of us, is to let other people know about this greatest gift that we have all received. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which, what? God prepared in advance for us to do. You see, God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of you. But it's up to you to surrender your life to Him so that He can then move. You know, it's hard to move something that is just obnoxious and have their heels stabbed in the ground, right? That is really hard to move. But something that is pliable and on wheels and ready to go wherever God says, that's an object that God is going to use mightily. Where you lead me, I will follow. I will do what you want me to. Is that your song? Is that your attitude? Will you do what it is that God is calling you to do? Because God has prepared in advance good work for you to do. Colossians chapter 3, 23 and 24 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. You see, that's the glory view. That I'm not working for the people around me. You see, y'all think just because I'm the pastor of this church, I'm working for you. Supplies, supplies. I work for Jesus. I'm working for the Lord. He's the one that gives me the strength to put up with Shirley. Yeah, and you know she ain't working for men. She working for the Lord. Because nobody'd want to put up with this every day on purpose. Amen. Was that strong enough back for you? Are we all good now? Just want to make sure. Don't want to make my secretary mad at me.
She has a tremendous backbone of this church. And her steadfastness here, it just blesses each and every one of us. And the things that she's called on to do, not only by me, but by her church board. She needs grace. She needs God's love. She needs your prayers. And especially, if nothing else, pray for her because she has to work with me. That's enough said right there. So our work has been determined by the Father. God has prepared good works for us to do. But what does it take? It takes a life that's surrendered to hear His voice, to go and to do what He says to do and to say. Well, Pastor, I can't share the gospel. I don't know what to say. Then don't rely on your own thinking. Instead, just simply say, God, okay, you're giving me this unction to go talk to that person. Wow, I am scared to death and you know it. Give me the courage. Give me the words that I might glorify you. And you see, that's a glory view. I live to bring glory to my Lord. Your last point, the reward of doing God's work is to view His glory. The reward of doing God's work is to view His glory. How many of you have led someone to the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't it such a great feeling? I mean, that's just got to be the most addictive thing that you could ever want to do, is lead a person to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And for them to get it, for them to acknowledge Jesus through your testimony. And what's your testimony? Your testimony is nothing but your story about what God has done in your life. That's all it is. It's not any harder than that. It's just sharing with other people, because we all put our pants on the same way, right? A sock on each foot. We're all the same. We may look different, but we all have this basic need. There's a hole in each and every person's heart that can only be filled by the presence of God. And though people might want to try to fill it up with all sorts of other activities or even other people, the only way that that hole can get filled and really feel filled is by drawing near to God and letting God draw near to you. The reward of doing God's work is to view His glory. John 17, verses 20-24. Further along in Christ's prayer to His Father, He says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in Me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as You are in Me and I am in You. May they also be in Us, so that the world may believe that You have sent Me. I have given them the glory that You gave Me, that they may be one as We are one, I in them and You in Me." How important is it to Jesus that the church, and I don't mean just this church, but that the bride be one? It's very important, because He happens to mention it even twice in just these few verses. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that You sent Me and have loved them even as You have loved Me. Father, I want those You have given Me to be with Me where I am,
and to see my glory. The glory you have given me because you love me before the creation of the world. The same God that loves His Son Jesus, who gave Him a work to do, has also loved you since before the creation of this world. And He's got a work for you and for me to do. You got a question down there on the bottom of your outline. It says, do you long to view God's glory? Do you long for it? Do you desire it? More than anything else that this world might want to tantalize you with. Because this world will try to tantalize you with all sorts of things, right? But do you long to view God's glory? Because when you set your sights on God's glory, nothing of this world will ever satisfy you again. And how is God's glory touching others through you? If you've experienced the glory of God's presence, how is His presence issuing itself out so that others can see it? Others can experience it. Others can possess it as you possess it. Father, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to Your power that is at work within us, to You, Father, be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And everybody said,